This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, episode 16. It's time for some epic real estate investing. What's up, everybody? Today's a big day for me. I got Matt Terrio on the line here. He's the podcast host of Your Do-Over, Body Do-Over, and Epic Real Estate Investing. And this is big for me because when I first started following podcasts, Your Do-Over was a huge show to me and I listened to it on a regular basis. So I'm happy to get to pick his brain and learn about his journey and share it with all you. So let's get right into this. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Now, I'm a huge fan of the Do-Over and so many people can relate to what you taught on that and you had brought it back now. Can we talk a little bit about your story and how you came to start the Do-Over?
Sure. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I spent the next 13 years or so of my life in the music business. Did fairly well for myself. Made my millions before I was 30. And then, I was able to do that because I figured out a way to generate a nice profit on selling just 30,000, 40,000 units per release. And if you know anything about the music business or what it was back then, I mean, that if you sold 30,000 records on any major label, they'd drop you in about 3 seconds. So that's not a lot of records. But I figured out how to do that and actually make a good living at it. And so I did that I had a good 2-3 year run at that, each year doing a little bit better than the previous. And then that formula that I had for doing that, I mean, almost overnight became, it was like 20% less effective. And so the following month was even 20% less effective than that. And then we threw more money at it, and that didn't help. And just in 6 months, I was completely out of business. And I had no idea what was going on because this thing was like, it was kind of foolproof for a good 3-year run. And in hindsight, it's crystal clear, but at the time I didn't know. And what it was is the digital download was just kind of taking over underground music, independent music. And we were an underground independent hip-hop label. And so that audience embraced that digital download far before, general population even knew what it was. I mean, iTunes didn't even exist at the time. And so it put us and a bunch of other people out of business. And there I was at age 34, bankrupt, and found myself divorced shortly thereafter, and then was bagging groceries at age 34. So the way I like to say is I went from 7 figures to $7 an hour.
Oh my God, that's painful.
Months. Yeah, it didn't feel well. And so after about a 6-month-long pity party, feeling very sorry for myself, blaming the world and mad and angry at everybody and everything, the grocery store manager of all people kind of, long story short, whispered in my ear, "Matt, if you want your life back, if you want that type of life back, it's probably going to happen through real estate, as real estate is the final frontier where the average person has a legitimate shot at creating wealth." And at that time, I mean, I didn't have a plan B. I didn't know if that was true or not, but it was the best option that had been presented to me in the previous 6 months. So I went after it, and within 48 hours, I was in real estate school to get my real estate agent license. And so I did that for a few years and did well there, but worked a lot. I mean, that was a 60, 70-hour work week at least every single week. But still wasn't making the kind of money that I was used to in music. But then I had two clients that were the best clients, or dream clients if you're a real estate agent. You like the people that buy over and over and over again. That makes it really easy on you. And they did that. And, there was one turning point in my whole career as a real estate agent was, we had an appointment set for a Saturday afternoon or late Saturday morning, 11 a.m. I remember specifically where I was, and it was in 456 Maple Street is the property that we were actually working on. I even remember that part. And so we had an appointment set, and I was sitting there in my suit and tie, had all the papers laid out all over my desk waiting for my client. He shows up about 20 minutes late. He shows up in jeans and a T-shirt. He signs the paperwork, and then he's off to enjoy the weekend, and then I am stuck to process the paperwork and then hold his house open. And I was just like, if real estate is really where the money is at, then I think I'm sitting on the wrong side of the desk. And that's when I made the shift over to real estate investor and recreated my life there and wrote a book about it. And I self-published that book. That book was called Do-Over. And I started, looking and investigating, researching on how to self-publish a book. Like, how was I going to sell these books? So I was listening to, a podcast on how to sell books. And I was like, well, I guess I should start a podcast to sell my book. So that's how the podcast started. I mean, 2 weeks before I had launched a podcast, I had no idea what a podcast even was. And the first 20 episodes, I just read the first 20 chapters of my book. I'd never done anything like that before. And about episode 11 or 12 or so, I noticed a real pickup in the downloads and saw those statistics jumping up. And about episode 15, 16, I started to get a lot of correspondence back and forth from the audience. And gosh, by chapter 19, episode 19, I was like, wow, I can't stop. I have an actual fan base. I have people that want to hear from me. And that just, took me off into a whole world of podcasting now. But that's how the do-over came about.
That's awesome. And you just went in so many different directions right there. I mean, we're talking about self-published book, real estate investor, and starting a podcast that blew up. Can we go into your first investment?
Sure. If anyone that's ever gotten a real estate license, they know that that does absolutely nothing to prepare you to be a real estate investor. It hardly prepares you to be a real estate agent at that, but it does nothing to prepare you to be a real estate investor. So I made a large investment into an educational program. And I had immersed myself into that. And while I was in that program, had something, maybe you've heard of it before, called the reticular activator in your brain. Basically, it's the part of your brain that's responsible for awareness. And I was aware and on the lookout for real estate investments. And I was just driving down a street in Long Beach one day, and there was this poor, dilapidated house that it was just in terrible shape. And it looked like someone started the job and didn't finish it. And so I went and did some research and found out that it was bank-owned and it was a super discount. And I found out that there was plans that were going to be passed along with the sale of that property that the previous owner had already gone to the city, got the permits to build that into an actual fourplex. So that, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that, wow, I'm going to buy a single family, I'm going to turn it into a fourplex, and I'm going to sell it for a fourplex price. And that's what I did. So I'd never done anything like that before, but I was smart enough just through the education to get the property under contract. And once I had control of it, then I just started looking for partners. And I found a partner who came in and he funded the deal and even had the rehab team and they did the whole thing. And I think we made, a little over $100,000 on that deal. And I put, $26,000 into my pocket for my share. And that was my very first deal.
That's a great success story on your first deal in.
Yeah. It was, and it took me 8 months before I got my second deal, but that was the first one.
Awesome. So you get into your second deal there, and, you're sharing everything on the do-over as your journey, which is super cool, and that's what I loved about the show as well, because so many people have had a good run, they fell off, they became lost, and then you just shared your journey on how you built it back up, and then now you're investing in other markets across the U.S. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I started... After that first deal, that $26,000 seemed like a good chunk, and it lasted me for a minute. But then I was broke for a few months, and I had nothing. I mean, literally had zero. And after the bankruptcy, after the divorce, I had no credit score to speak of. So I had nothing, but I had this education. And what I had done was I found a turnkey real estate provider, turnkey investment provider, who had a bunch of inventory that he's trying to unload. So what I did is I kind of teamed up with him. I created property flyers of all of his properties, but I put my contact information on them. And then I started going to all the Real Estate Investor Club meetings. And during the needs and wants section, I just stand up in front of the room with the microphone and say, this is what I got. If you want some more information on this, I'll be in the back. Come and get a flyer from me. So I made it really quick, really simple, and that was my call to action to come and see me in the back. And I started selling properties, and he was paying me, I think, like $3,500 a piece. And I did two or three of those in the first month, and then another two or three the next month. And I was like, wow, this is actually pretty good money. So that's how I got started into that part of real estate, of wholesaling. I guess you call that co-wholesaling is what they call it now. At that time, I just called it, that was my hustle. So from there, I started doing direct marketing looking for my own deals, direct marketing, direct to seller. And I got closed a few deals here in California. But then through that whole process, I ran across a guy in Chicago who had a bunch of property, had a huge portfolio, and he was offering seller financing on those. And I got picked up 35 of those with a buddy. So we had 35 properties with almost 100% seller financing, and that's how I got kind of into the buy and hold game. It's kind of how I got into the long distance game, And it just kind of opened my eyes to, like, wow, I don't have to live in my own backyard to make, or I don't have to invest in my own backyard to make this work. So I just saw, you know, unlimited possibility. Because in Southern California, I mean, your median household price in a blue-collar neighborhood is going to be, at that time, was like $450, $475. And I found out in Illinois, the part that we were investing, I could buy six homes for that. And they had all cash. And they'd cash flow at a double-digit return. So I was like, wow, okay. There's a whole new world out here. And so I picked up a property. A buddy, that's actually the same buddy, had got three properties under contract in Memphis. And he only had enough money to close on two. So he wholesaled one to me, and I ended up with a 14-unit building in Memphis. And then it was when I went down there to get started on the rehab and meet my team, I looked around, and there were just single-family houses everywhere, and they were giving darn near the same ROI as that multifamily property was. And I just came back, and I had told everybody what I had saw, and people gave me money to go out there and do it for them. And that started my turnkey real estate investing operation. And the demand grew to where I couldn't find enough properties in Memphis, so we expanded over to St. Louis. And then the demand grew to where we didn't have enough properties between those two cities to supply the demand. And then we moved into Cleveland, and then to Kansas City, and then to Cincinnati, and then to Indianapolis, and then, you know, just one city at a time. And here we are in 10 markets across the country. And I still live in Los Angeles.
That's nuts. Talk about taking massive action there.
Yeah, it's kind of just one step at a time, and the demand revealed itself, so I decided to become the supply of that demand. And, you know, in hindsight, I look like I was pretty darn smart. But at the time, I had no idea what I was doing. It's just the door would open, and I'd walk through it, and it just, I happened to keep walking through the right door.
Nice. I like that we're on this right now, and I'm on the other end of it, where I supply properties to a lot of West Coast investors, but I think a lot of people are scared to tap into other markets because they don't have feet on the ground. Can you share a couple of your strategies you use to make sure, you know, everything's flowing right and you're not being taken advantage of?
Sure. One of the worst pieces of advice is, you'll hear this all over the place, at least you hear it a lot here in Los Angeles, is if you can't walk to your investment, you shouldn't invest in it. And I think that's terrible advice, especially if you don't live in a market that has investment-grade real estate that produces a, you know, a sensible return for you. But what we're really not talking about is long-distance investing. That's not the issue. Nobody ever lost money because of the distance between their primary residence and their investment. They really lose money because they lose control. And they lose control in two specific places. They lose control with their rehab, and they lose control with their property management. So if you can have a good relationship and good control with your contractor and a good relationship and control with your property manager, it's actually really tough to lose money in real estate. And I know that catches a lot of people off guard, and they're like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, that sounds crazy. Real estate is risky. But no, if you eliminate, you know, the property management issues and the contractor issues, you know, you eliminate most of the risk, most of the downside of real estate. So that's our first focus when we go into a new market. Even if all the economic indicators match up and are in alignment and said, hey, the thumbs up, this is a great market, a great economy, there's all kinds of jobs, the government is well involved in the community, the population is growing, like all the basic things. If we don't have a relationship there, we don't go into that market because that's everything for us. So if we can have that relationship, that's the first step. And then as soon as we find that relationship, we go in and we look for a second one. So we eliminate our single points of failure. So in every market, we have at least two contractors. We have at least two property managers. And we do it that way to where, and we make sure, and we don't keep any secrets. They both know about each other. And it kind of has this little inherent sense of competition, I guess, without really saying it. And what that does, it's funny what competition does. It happens to increase the performance, and it happens to reduce expenses. And now we've gotten to a point where, you know, I've got over almost 300 units of my own rental property spread out in these 10 markets. And then I've got about another 600 that I help my clients with. So we represent a significant portion of each one of our team's business that if we were to say, hey, we're going somewhere else, that would cause an actual impact or a devastating, not maybe not devastating, but they'd certainly feel the blow to their business if we left. So it happens because we've been able to build that, it gets us favorable treatment, preferential treatment, and it gets the same for our clients as well. So that's a fortunate place we've been able to position ourselves in. But it didn't happen overnight. That took a long time. And we worked with a lot of bad contractors before we found the good ones. And we worked with even worse property managers before we found the good ones. But we're in a good place right now. This last year has been amazing.
That sounds great. 1,000 units across the Midwest. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have Epic Pro Academy open right now?
Yes, the Epic Pro Academy is open. And it's where I teach you how to invest. 11 different strategies inside using little to no money. And that's my educational platform. And there's also access to me for coaching in there, too.
Now, we're in 2015 right now. Can you talk about some personal goals you're working on this year?
Personal goals. Okay. Well, I just accomplished this one very personal goal this last year. I wanted to get down to a single-digit body fat percentage. And I did it in November. And so my next personal goal coming up is when I was in the Marine Corps, my third phase of boot camp, the final phase, took the final physical fitness test, and I scored a 299 out of 300. And that's been sitting with me for about 25 years that I missed it by 1 point. And all I needed to do was run 10 seconds faster. So I had to run an 18-minute 3-mile. So that's my goal this year, is to run that 18-minute 3-mile. So those are my two. Those are big personal goals of mine.
Wow.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Personal goals, that's it. Financial goals are more around just increasing my passive income. I want to get to $100,000 a month.
Get to how much a month?
$100,000 a month.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can you share with us your top free real estate marketing tip?
Top three marketing. Looking for buyers or looking for sellers?
Looking for sellers.
Well, direct mail is still king. So I would love to share something really fascinating and fun and exciting. But direct mail is still king. What we've used over the last year or so with great success is we stopped sending just all cash offers. We send a 3-option letter of intent. And one of those options is the lowball all cash offer, but we provide 2 alternative ways that we can produce or purchase their property. And so what that does for us is it makes the all-cash offer sometimes look a little bit more appealing and not as offensive. So that's one strategy that's gotten us a lot more offers accepted. What else? Direct mail. We stopped answering the phone and sending everything to voicemail and then just calling people back. And that has worked really well. We've put the 800 number recorded message on our mailings, and actually our call rate has gone up pretty much or pretty significantly by doing that rather than, you know, just putting a phone number and answering the phone live. So I guess those are our 3 tips that are making a big difference. There might be something that comes to me later, but that's the 3 that come to my mind right away.
Nice. All the newbies out there that are ready to jump into real estate, what's your strategy you could share with them that they could start taking action today?
The biggest, I think, misconception about real estate is money. You know, you just don't need it the way that you think you do. What I found over and over and over again, and every single one of my students, as reluctant and resistant as they were to approach their business this way, they felt the exact same way. But afterwards, they all like, oh my God, that was so simple, was find the deal first. Focus on finding the deal. And if you find a deal, it's much easier to find the money after you found the deal than it is to find the money before you find the deal. But a lot of people go out and look for a money partner or look for, you know, a friend, family, or associate that's ready to invest with them and before they find the deal. And it's really tough to get a commitment from somebody that way. But if you got a deal and I say, hey, this is going to produce a 20% cash-on-cash return, why don't you loan me the money to purchase it and I'll pay you 7%, which happens to be about 3-4 times what you're getting on your money already, and your money is going to be secured by real estate, that's a much better pitch to somebody, and you're going to get a lot more takers. So I would say focus on finding the deal first. Also, the person that finds the deal controls the show. Finding the deal, that's the hard part, and that's the part that nobody wants to do. It's the time-consuming part. And, you know, a lot of people investors go into real estate thinking they don't have the money, and they think they're at a huge disadvantage. Well, just so you know, there's people with money that can't find deals that think they're at a huge disadvantage. So what's the easy part to you is difficult to someone else and vice versa. So if you have no money, if you're just getting started or just limited funds and you're just getting started, place all your focus on finding deals, putting them under contracts, and then you, from there, it's much easier for you to go out and find the money.
As so well said. I agree with you 100% on that. Matt, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Where can the listeners connect with you?
Wow, I'm all over the place. The easiest place, if they're listening to us right now, they could probably find my podcast at the same place. If that's Epic Real Estate Investing. Or you can just go to epicrealestate.com right there on the website. That'll lead you to all things us.
Excellent. Matt, thank you so much for doing the show. I appreciate your time.
You bet, Mike. My pleasure.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalder.com or connect with me on Twitter at michaelalder34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody. Thanks, and let's take action today.